Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary, Srila Prabhupada, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Puranjan becomes a woman in his next life. Text number 53. Please repeat. Apisma yas rasi chatmanam avigyata sakya sakhe hitvamam padam avichan boma bhoga ratogata. Translation Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmana continued, "My dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world." Please repeat. The Brahmana continued, My dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world. Purport Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:27, Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapaha. O skin of Bharat, Arjuna, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. This is an explanation of how the living entity falls down into this material world. In the spiritual world, there is no duality, nor is there hate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands Himself into many. In order to enjoy bliss more and more, the Supreme Lord expands Himself in different categories. As mentioned in the Varaha Puran, He expands Himself in Vishnu Tattva, the Swamsa expansion, and in His marginal potency, the Bibinamsa, or the living entity. These expanded living entities are innumerable, just as the minute molecules of sunshine are innumerable expansions of the sun. The Bibinamsa expansions, the marginal potencies of the Lord, are the living entities. When the living entities desire to enjoy themselves, they develop a consciousness of duality and come to hate the service of the Lord. In this way, the living entities fall into the material world. In the Prema Vivarta it is said, Krishna bihir mukha hana bhoga vanchakare nikata sta maya thara japitiya dhare. The natural position of the living entity is to serve the Lord in a transcendental loving attitude. When the living entity wants to become Krishna himself or imitate Krishna, he falls down into the material world. Since Krishna is the Supreme Father, his affection for the living entity is eternal. When the living entity falls down into the material world, the Supreme Lord, through his Swamsa expansion, Paramatma, keeps company with the living entity. in this way, the living entity may someday return home, back to Godhead. By misusing his independence, the living entity falls down from the service of the Lord and takes a position in this material world as an enjoyer. That is to say, the living entity takes his position within a material body, wanting to take a very exalted position. The living entity instead becomes entangled in a repetition of birth and death. He selects his position as a human being, a demigod, a cat, a dog, a tree, etc. In this way, the living entity selects a body out of the 8,400,000 species and tries to satisfy himself in a variety of material enjoyment. The Supersoul, however, does not like him to do this. Consequently, the Supersoul instructs him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord then takes charge of the living entity. But unless the living entity is uncontaminated by material desires, he cannot surrender unto the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 5:29 it is said, Bhuktaram yogi tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. The Supreme Lord is the supreme friend of everyone. However, no one can take advantage of the Supreme's friend's instructions while making his own plans to become happy and entangling himself in the modes of material nature. When there is creation, the living entities take on different forms according to past desires. This means that all the species or forms of life are simultaneously created. Darwin's theory, stating that no human being existed from the beginning, but that human beings evolved after many, many years, is simply a nonsensical theory. From Vedic literature, we find that the first creature within the universe is Lord Brahma. Being the most intelligent personality, Lord Brahma could take charge of creating all the variety found within this material world. Makam karoti vachalam bhangam laite girim yat kripa tamaham vande sri guru dinatarinam apismarasi chatmanam avijyata sakyam sake hitva mam padam anvichan bhoma bhoga ratogataha. The Brahmana continued, my dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world. So, Narada Muni continues his instruction of Prichana Parishat. Paranjan, who in the allegory that Narada Muni is telling to Prichana Parishat, represents the king, Puranjan is represented in the story, rather Prichina Barishat is represented as Puranjan in the story. So this chapter, Puranjan, through attachment to his wife at the time of death, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, whatever you think of at the time of death, you will attain that. What is your bhava? What is your emotional mood? What is your attachment? That will be the beginning position of your next life. You will get a body accordingly. So Puranjan, when the city of nine gates was attacked by Kala Kanya, that means his body was attacked by the daughter of time, he found that all his ministers, that means all the potencies, aspects of his body, all the organs, were becoming indifferent and confused. And his wife also was becoming cold towards him. So this caused him distress. This is a description of the dying process. As we die, the body becomes very disturbed. So we remember those things that are dear to us as we realize that death is going to take us away from those things. So seeing his ministers disturbed, Puranjan, he remembered his wife and his dealings with her, how she was so faithful and used to tolerate if he chastised her, if he became angry, she would remain silent. So even at the time of death, Puranjan is not thinking of the Supreme Lord. He's thinking of his wife. Now this is an interesting point, because the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, he is cursed by the Brahmana, son of the Brahmana, Sringi, to die in 7 days. So we're all going to die in 7 days, because there are 7 days in the week. So one of those days will be ours, the hour of hours. So Parikshit Maharaj asked, this is one of the starting points, Antikaleva, what should I do? What is the duty of a man at the time of death? Parikshit Maharaj wasn't an enjoyer. He was serving a great king, the kingdom, the praja, the population, as their father, taking care of them, performing his duty. But Puranjan was an enjoyer. So there you have a dividing line. One king is the enjoyer, and at the time of death, he's remembering his main object of enjoyment, his faithful wife. But Parikshit Maharaj, an enlightened soul, performing his duties not for his personal enjoyment but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchite, he is concerned, what is my duty? Sometimes mundane writers or movies, there is a story, one man is going to die. So then he thinks, okay, I'm going to die, I have cancer, so let me enjoy for 6 months. Sri Sri Gornitai Sri Guru Parampara Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam Sundar Lalit Vishaka Gomata, Shalagram Maharaj, Giri Govardhana Ki. But Parikshit Maharaj is not thinking how to enjoy at the time of death. He's thinking, what's my duty? So that is a human being. If somebody is thinking how to enjoy, then this is animal life. Human life is meant to learn our duty, not material duty exclusively, but our duty towards our Creator, the Supreme Lord. As Prabhupada explained in the first section of the purport, the Supreme Lord expands Himself. That division is given, Parashya Shakti Vididai Visay Suryate, in the Vishnu Puran, that there are three basic divisions of energy. The original Chit Shakti, spiritual energy, directly expanded from the Supreme Lord. Then there is the Avidya Shakti, the Maya Shakti, and then there is the Jiva Shakti, the also known as the Tatastha Shakti. So this Tatastha Shakti belongs to the Supreme Lord. It is the same quality. Mamai Angsa Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Angsa. In the Jiva Dharma, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he gives a very good illustration to understand the position of these different energies. And it is corresponding in the Shastra, Yuta Agnye, that the Supreme Lord is like the sun. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is the core of the sun. And then on the surface of the sun is non-different from the sun, are all the Vishnu expansions. Swangsa, Prabhupada, if you remember, mentioned. Swangsa, Swa-angsa, his own part. Swa-angsa. And then there is the Vibhinangsa. The Vibhinangsa, they are non-different. They are angsa of the sun, but they are the sunlight of the sun. Just like the sunlight is contains photons, particles of sunlight. So, the Jiva Shakti is compared to the sunlight of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord has His Brahman effulgence, the Brahmajyoti, emanating from His body, figuratively the sun, and the jivas are situated within that expanded light, that energy. Brahmano pratishtaham. So in the 16th mantra of the Ishupanishad, Prabhupada explains there that the Brahmajyoti is the generating place of the Jiva Shakti. It is emanation of Krishna but manifesting in the sunlight, figuratively. So we have the sun, the direct nature of the Supreme Lord. Then we have the Brahmajyoti, wherein the Jiva Shakti is generated, Mantra 16, Ishupanishad. And then, at distance from the sun, we have the Maya Shakti, which is compared to darkness. Just like Prabhupada explains here, that the sun cannot be affected by the clouds. However, the Jiva Shakti can be affected by removing itself from the sun. It can go into darkness or it can go into light. So it is tata, situated between these two energies. I'll read this where Prabhupada explains this in the last paragraph of the last verse, 1878, in the Gita. The living entity in his original position is pure spirit. He is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Thus Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun and the living entities to sunshine. Because the living entities are the marginal energy of Krishna, they have a tendency to be in contact with the material energy or with the spiritual energy. In other words, the living entity is situated between the two energies of the Lord, and because he belongs to the superior energy of the Lord, he has a particle of independence. By proper use of that independence, he comes under the direct order of Krishna. Thus he attains his normal position in the pleasure-giving potency. And also, by improper use of that independence, he comes under the indirect control of Krishna in the Maya Shakti. So Prabhupada is giving more full explanation of this, that the sunshine can be covered by the clouds. However, the sun can never be covered. So the particles of sunshine, the Jiva Shakti, which are non-different from the Supreme Lord, and thereby have a particle of independence, can choose their engagement. If they rebel against the Supreme Lord, their intimate friend, the source of their emanation in the transcendental world, then they fall into the Maya Shakti and they become conditioned. And as it says in this verse, having rejected your intimate friend, you have accepted a position as enjoyer in this material world. Now in the same way, and Prabhupada quotes that verse, right? Icha dvesha samuttaina dvandva mohena bharata. That thus they enter the world of duality in the material energy. And with this mood of separation, they are vibhinamsa, vibhinamsa. The expansions of the Supreme Lord are amsa. They are his personal parts and part expansions, plenary portions. The vibhinamsa is separated part. Prabhupada also gives another example to understand vibhinamsa. It says, just like the milk in one conversation, it says the milk is the separated energy of the cow. So the living entity, what is his separation ultimately? His separation is not ultimately a matter of location, it is a matter of consciousness. Because we have independence, we can accept the Lord or we can reject the Lord. When we reject the Lord, when we rebel against the supremacy of the Lord, then we fall into the material energy and we become covered, the six coverings, I believe, six of the material energy, tamasa. Tamasa means that initial mood of rebellion against the Supreme Lord. and then follows Andata Mishra. Having lost connection by our consciousness, our choice, Bahimukh, turning figuratively our back on the Supreme Lord, then we become covered by fearfulness, Andata Mishra. Tamishra, Andata Mishra. And then comes Tama. We start to engage in all sorts of ignorance based upon identification with the material body. So we've lost our spiritual identity by turning our back on the Supreme Lord, just like in this temple. Everyone is facing the Supreme Lord. That is the transcendental condition. And they're feeling blissful and connection to the Supreme Lord. But imagine one day if you came in the temple and everyone was looking at the door. So that is the material life. Everyone has turned their back on the Supreme Lord. And they're not feeling connection, even though ultimately they are within the creation of the Supreme Lord. But a matter of attitude has removed them from the correct understanding, as it is mentioned here, as from their intimate friend, who is their source, who is their Supreme Lord. And therefore, they are entering the world of duality, and they no longer identify themselves as servants of the Supreme Lord, but they identify themselves as members of the material world. So then follows Moha and Mahamoha. Moha means that he enters with this bodily consciousness, the avidya shakti. And he starts to consider all sorts of dualistic interpretations of reality. I like this, I don't like this. I want this, I don't want this. Icha. Icha means desire. Hari Icha is forgotten, and now he's promulgating his own desire within the material energy. And then Mahamoha comes. Mahamoha means great illusion. Having entered into the karmic field of ignorance, the avidya shakti, he then becomes bewildered by the karmic reactions. Because the material energy works on the basis of action and reaction, karma. Karma, the mother activities give the reaction. So he becomes bewildered. He plans for happiness, for avoiding the bad things and achieving the happy things. But the opposite happens. Dukalaya masashvitam. He never finds a permanent situation in the material world. Just like Paranjan, he wants to enjoy. He wants to enjoy his wife. He wants to enjoy his kingdom. But at the end of the life, he's bereft. He feels himself in a desert without a drop of water. And the only mirage he can hang on to is his wife and how she was faithful to him. And even though she's growing cold, this is the only thing. So even at the time of death, he's trying to taste material ras. Even though the reactions of his life are coming upon him, and he'll soon be expelled from the body, he hangs on to this attachment. So this is Mahamoha. And the result is that Paranjan in the story becomes a woman, having remembered his wife. So she is born as Vidarbhi, the wife of eventually Malyadwaj, who was a saintly king. And in this section here, Malyadvaj has renounced the kingdom at a timely time, given it all to his sons, divided up the kingdom, and he's gone to the forest to become enlightened by bhakti yoga, by meditating upon the Supreme Lord. And prior to this verse, there is very interesting sections that describe just exactly what that enlightenment is. He fully realizes his unity and relationship with the Supreme Lord. And he sees his unity with the Supreme Lord, and therefore there is no need of separate interest. Just like the sunlight is seeing the unity with the sun, but at the same time the sunlight is distinct, jiva shakti, it is an energy of the sun. So he's also realizing his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, sanatana, jiva bhuta sanatana, eternally. He doesn't merge into the super soul, he doesn't merge into the sun, but he enters into relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is prem, that is sevabhav, rishikesha rishikena. Sava upadi vinirmuktam, he gives up all material identification. I am the king, I am the body, all moha is based on this tama, which is based ultimately on tamishra, a rebellion against the Supreme Lord, and he becomes enlightened by the grace of the Supreme Lord within his heart. So he passes from the body, and at this point Vidarbhi, the daughter of Vidarbha, the wife of Malyadvaj, she is lamenting. She is in the forest, she has just made a funeral pyre, and she's considering, now I'll burn the body of my departed husband and I will enter the fire also. At this point the brahmana in this allegory arrives, and because she has been such a faithful servant of her enlightened husband, the brahmana, who figuratively represents the super soul, decides, now I will help Vidarbhi. And the first point, and the important point here is, this is so important, the brahmana, my dear friend. So every word is perfect. The Supreme Lord is the friend of the living entity, as Prabhupada expounded in the purport. He is the dear friend. However, because the living entity desires material life and the duality of good and bad, and enters into the duality of seeing the creation separate from the Supreme Lord, this is the two forms of duality, separation from the Lord and then relative judgment of the material energy as attractive or unattractive, good or bad, wanted or unwanted. So now the brahmana, the super soul, is telling, you are very dear to me, but I have given you independence, and it is not my position to interfere with your operation of independence. If you wish to leave me, then I will give you all facility, and I will follow you into this material world and try to guide you in the form of conscience, in the form of the sadhus, in the form of the shastra, in the form of Guru Parampara, so that you can properly use your independence. I am not a dictator. I am your dear friend. You are dear to me, and I am dear to you by your intrinsic nature. Even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? So in the Gita, Krishna says, Aham Mata, Aham Data, Aham Pitamaha. So Krishna says, I am mother. Sometimes in this modern nonsense world of so-called feminism, which is actually masculism, women don't want to be called Mata. But Krishna is saying, Aham Mata. If Krishna is calling himself mother, and very proudly, in front of Jarjuna, Mata means superior. Mata, ji. Aham Mata, Aham Pita, Aham Pita Maha. I am father, mother. I am father and mother of this universe and all living entities. So, how intimate is the Supreme Lord? We are considering on the basis of this bodily platform that my mother and father are from this part of Russia, or this part of UP, or this part of Nepal, or Bengal. We're thinking we have a duty towards them. What about our duty to our real father and mother? Unfortunately, you gave up my company. You gave it up by operation of your own will and accepted a position as enjoyer in this material world. So the main point here is that having rejected the Supreme Lord, this living entity enters the material energy and then lives in the cycle of samsara, birth and death. For in 8,400,000 species of life, as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, revolving in this way. But Parikshit Maharaj understands that now I have the human form of life, I should not be bewildered by this body. Just like you see the monkeys or the dogs and the hogs in the street. They're following their nose. Huh? What are they doing? They're simply finding something to enjoy. They have no ability to understand philosophy. But the special benediction of the human form of life is that jnanavam, you can gain spiritual knowledge. Here, Vidarbhi is being told that this, later on you'll find, this person who you think is your husband is not your husband. You have no relationship with him other than the illusory energy. Your real relationship is with me, your intimate friend. So, this relationship is eternal. Previously you were Paranjan, now you're Vidarbhi. When you were Paranjan, you were thinking, I'm the king and enjoyer of the kingdom. When you're Vidarbhi, you're thinking, I'm the servant of Malyadwaj. But unless you become enlightened, you'll take another birth. And you'll continue in the avidya shakti. And you will lament for another death, the death of your children, the loss of your house, the puncture in your motor car. You'll spend the rest of your days in the cycle of birth and death. Yes, the dogs, they love their children, you will see in the street. And when the dog, little puppy, dies, they also lament. And their lamentation is of the same quality as our lamentation. Their mood of attraction to their mate is the same as our mood. They're also feeling the material rush. It is not a separate thing. When they enjoy eating, it is the same rasa, mellow, that we enjoy, but it is very paltry. It is unsatisfactory. However, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, if now, Vidarbhi, you realize that you are my intimate friend, just like I am your intimate friend, and you turn your face to me, and you listen to me, instead of the pulling and pushings of the avidya shakti, in accordance with your karmic fruit, then you can enter into eternal relationship, as Malyadvaj has, as your husband has. And because you have been a faithful servant of your husband, Sri Dharma, Stri Dharma, then this is what you actually deserve. So the message of this verse is very important. Because all social material welfare programs fall short. They fall short of an eternal solution. You may fill someone's belly, you may have an eye camp, but they're still in the cycle of birth and death. Still their basic problem, which is the cause of suffering, remains. And that is ignorance of their intimate friend. So Lord Chaitanya, Yuga Avatar, Kili Kale, Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar, has bring the avatar for Kali Yuga, mantra, delivering the mind, tra, Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, by chanting Hare Krishna, something wonderful will happen. This is a letter to Rupanuga, August the 8th, 1969, by Srila Prabhupada. In further reference to your question about the form of the spirit soul, of the conditioned living entity, there is spiritual form always, but it develops fully only when the living entity goes back to Vaikuntha, when he leaves the avidya shakti. This form develops according to the desire of the living entity. Until this perfectional stage is reached, the form is lying dormant, like the form of a tree lying dormant in the seed. So the spirit soul, just like Krishna, he has his swamsa expansion. So the swarupa of the soul is contained in seed form within the soul. However, because we are in the winter of material energy, our spirit soul does not blossom. So the Hare Krishna mantra is the springtime sunshine that awakens the seed-like soul. And then the swarup manifests. And once that swarup is manifest and the eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord is fully manifest and established, the living entity never falls down again into the material energy. Because he has developed prem bhav, he has attained attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if at the time of death you wish to remember the Supreme Lord instead of your cricket team, confirmed, you have to develop two things, spiritual realization and attachment to the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This will manifest your spiritual form. What does it say in the Bhagavatam? Muktir hitavan yata rupam swarupena vavashtiti. The swarup is manifest when you're completely free, sava upodi vinir muktam, of identifying with the material mind and the material body. Ah. So that potency is there in the holy name. We have the super soul in the heart. We have the literature of the parampara. So we should take advantage. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you made a point which I did not quite catch. You were paraphrasing the Paramatma speaking to Vaidarbhi, saying that because you have performed your Sri Dharma properly.
Well, that will be partially it, yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So then she was qualified to again associate with the Lord. So what I don't understand is that, well, nothing is automatic, right? It has to be a conscious choice. So if you leave your body thinking of your husband, that may benefit you materially. You will get a better birth. But that does not, does that mean that automatically, because your husband goes back to Godhead, even if you have no desire to?
Yes, it's correct. It's not mechanical. Krishna is Mukunda. That means that only he gives liberation. Krishna has the final word. But Lord Chaitanya, he is especially merciful. So one doesn't immediately transfer to Golok Vrindavan. It's explained in the Shastra that if one is not entirely purified, but one has attained bhava, ecstatic attachment to the Supreme Lord, then he will go to the Bhoma-lila. He will go where Krishna's pastimes are manifest in one of the unlimited material universes. And there he will develop seva-bhava and prem-bhava fully, and from there become completely purified. So ultimately we have come, your point is very nice, ultimately icha-dvesha, icha, jnana-bala-kriya-cha. So ultimately we have to use our icha-shakti. Krishna has icha-shakti. He has the ability to desire. And whatever he desires becomes such a sankalp. It becomes truth. So the living entity also has icha-shakti. So in the core of all karmic reactions, bhakti-sukriti, bhava, the living entity is there. And this is the nature of his separation from the Supreme Lord. He is separated by his particle of independence, which the Supreme Lord does not interfere with. So if we learn this, this is very empowering. If we learn that everything is based upon desire. So correct, it's not mechanical. The living entity is not mechanical, but it contains his own desire. We see in this material world, people who are very determined, they achieve things. Those people that are spaced out don't use and don't focus their desire and their endeavors on the basis of that desire, they don't achieve much. They become many-branched in their endeavors. But Krishna says, ekeha kurunandana in the Gita, that once receiving the seed of bhakti, the understanding that I am the intimate friend of my intimate friend, we should cultivate the desire to awaken that relationship. In the same way, if you want to go to Kanyakumari, You can get there only if you desire. If you desire to go to Kanyakumari, then you'll make a plan. When I can go, I will need these clothes. I'll have to make the booking on the train. Everything will be focused around your desire. So, by sadhu sangha, by shastric study, convincing intelligence, buddhi yoga, by the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna, we should develop ultimately our icha, our desire. And the Supreme Lord reciprocates with our desire. Yetam mam prapadyante tamste ve bhajimeyaham. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reciprocate accordingly. So we can desire materially to become a musician, to become a businessman, to become a politician. Or we can desire to be established in our relationship with Krishna. So you're all devotees. So you should understand that everything is in your own hands. We've talked about this a number of times. It is up to you to attract the mercy of Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada used to quote him. He said, do not try to see Krishna, but try to act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. So everything, 15th chapter of the Gita, is floating on the lake of desire. People are moving around in this creation, in this body, in the spiritual world, all on the basis of their desire. And if we understand that that is the catalyst, we have the Bhagavatam, we have the Maha Mantra, we have Archavigraha, we have the Goshala, we have the dust of Vrindavan, we have Jamuna. But what is the catalyst? It is our desire. So your question points to that point. That if we want to attain Krishna, there is only one thing. Loilam. Lobdha. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda said, I'm opening Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, I'm opening the marketplace of the holy name. But there's only one thing you can give to purchase that holy name, to purchase Krishna, and that is lobdha, your desire. So don't, yes, stay in sadhu sangha, but don't think that it's going to come automatically. No, it will come according to your desire. If you desire, you can go and have eternal relationship with Krishna in one lifetime. Ultimately in one moment. But if you don't chant nicely, you commit Dham aparad, Vaishnava aparad, Seva aparad, you eat in an undisciplined way, you don't follow sadhana bhakti, you can stay as a Kanishtha Vaishnav for hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes. Just like if you want to learn piano or sitar, you have to practice. You can have Beethoven as your piano teacher. But unless you practice, you put your fingers on the keys, you will not become a piano player. You can have every recording of every great pianist, and you can listen to them day and night. You can study music theory, but unless you sit down and practice, you'll never develop your talent. So it is a matter of desire. And once we realize that Krishna has given us our desire, and according to our desire, we can go in this direction, that direction, or towards Krishna, then we become empowered. because we realize it. And so you must contemplate this. Yes. If you desire Krishna, you can attain Krishna. Krishna is within your heart. But if you don't, you will never. So how to wake up that desire, how to awaken, that is Vaidhi Bhakti, regulated practice. Then Raga appears, that means attraction. Then Rati Bhakti or Bhava Bhakti. Then ecstatic attachment. After attraction becomes attachment. And then prema. So, Srila Prabhupada has explained all these stages of bhakti. If we do not find the desire, then we should perform the practice very carefully and cultivate the desire by sadhu sangha. Clear? Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sadhu Sangha, Harinam Sankirtana Ki. Jai.